Thank you, Tab. Oh, Heavenly Father, wow, are you awesome. I just pray that in my preaching that I can sincerely convey how awesome you are, Jesus. So please, Holy Spirit, anoint me and help me to be able to convey that this message, Lord God, this message that then sinks into our very identity of who we are in Christ. So give us clarity and give us good vision, God. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Jesus is awesome. And his authority is absolute. We get some glimpses of the power of his authority right here in that text in Mark, as his teaching is with such authority. It's just astounding to people. You know, typically back then, still today, you know, somebody wants to really convey something with authority, well, then they will cite some very important person, some great authority on the subject. And as Jesus taught, well, who would have been a greater authority than himself? And so he didn't cite all these great rabbis from the past or some great philosopher. He was the primary source. And so he taught with such authority, and that authority, as it would hit the listener, would just sink in with such profound depth. And so they were astounded at his teaching had authority. And then even more so, especially in this instant with this man who had a demon, that all of a sudden Jesus could simply just with a word confront the demon, cast it out. So as I explained to the children too, I mean, even a legion of demons, they were just reduced to just shuddering and pleading before Jesus. He had absolute authority over all created things. Of course, he being the creator God. And so everything is under his submission. And even the demons are under his dominance. And he was dominant over them. He had authority to heal the sick, no matter the disease, no matter even how far along it was. In fact, you remember the story when he was going to try and help a little girl. And they came to the person that had asked him and said, oh, don't bother the master. She died. And Jesus, what did he say? Ah, too late. Darn. Missed the opportunity. He said, don't worry. Just have faith. Even after she had died, he raised her from the dead. Lazarus, too, raised him from the dead. You know, if you think about when he would take somebody who was crippled, and even crippled from birth, and now as an adult, when he would heal that person, and in a word, he would just say, stand up. Think about, even at the molecular level, what is happening to the bones as they're becoming solid and maybe straightening out. But anybody who's ever done any physical therapy, Shannon, you're in the physical therapy, that's your training, right? I mean, normally, even if the doctors could put right the bones, then still you would need to strengthen the muscles and the connective tissue and all of that, in a moment, came together. Well, truly was the Creator recreating. The Creator who could speak, and in a moment, mountains be raised. And this is the whole debate. Where is Dave Christie? This is the whole debate with, you know, could this whole creation have been made in 6 days? No, the scientists say. It's a process of millions of years. Yeah, by natural process, how long would it take to heal a cripple man? In a moment, all that came together, even down to the molecular level. Is this not awesome power on display? He had absolute authority over all of heaven and over all of earth. No person, however powerful, no heavenly being, absolutely everything in all of creation in heaven and in earth is subject to Jesus' authority and power. He has authority to forgive sins. And that's why he could say, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Because in the same way that miraculously, in a moment, he could absolutely heal somebody physically, he can heal your soul in an instant. when he forgives you of your sins. And it goes deep, and that healing can be absolutely complete in a moment. Anybody here maybe need to hear that good news about forgiveness of sins? That Jesus, it's not even a matter of a bunch of penitence now to be able to truly be forgiven, but you are forgiven so that now in Christ Jesus there is no condemnation. That is awesome. He can forgive sins. He has authority and will use that authority to judge all of mankind. It's Jesus and no other. It's like the old gospel song, "Oh, it won't be your Buddha that's sitting on the throne, and it won't be old Muhammad that's calling us home. Oh, no, it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. Oh, we're going to see the Lord, not Reverend Moon." Yeah, it's Jesus who will be on that throne and no other. And oh, there's many paths that lead. Yeah, thank you. There's many paths that lead to heaven. There is one. And Jesus said it. And either he was a liar, a lunatic, or his Lord. And he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Only Jesus has the authority, and he will judge, and he will grant eternal life or eternal perdition. Now, here's really what's important then. How do we get into application mode then? And what about for me? For us? So how do I know that I'm in? And as your pastor, I would wish everybody would have that strong assurance of salvation. Okay? So that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, yes, I have, my faith is a saving faith, and I stand then securely and will stand securely before Jesus Christ. I want everyone to know that, because biblically speaking, it's just not enough that you come to church, okay? And it's not enough, and certainly there's all kinds of foul thoughts out there that, well, because God is love, nobody's going to go to hell. No, Jesus will judge. So here, okay, here are the criteria. And I've got it right there in your sermon notes, okay? And so Paul, the Apostle Paul, says we are to examine ourselves to see whether or not we are in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. So here comes the Holy Spirit's MRI. Okay? So as you read through those in the sermon notes, are you surrendered to Jesus as Savior and Lord? I mean, are you, and basically that could be it, except that the others really then qualify what it means to be surrendered to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Okay? It's not just that you one time made a some sort of statement, some sort of claim, receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, woohoo, and now I just go back to doing whatever I was doing. No, you surrender to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and you are committed, and you live committed to live for Him. As Paul said, for me, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. I live for Him. And so you align your life with His will. I mean, that's Lordship. Lord Jesus, I live to do Your will. And so I seek to align my life with His will as revealed in His Word and to live under His Lordship. It's all biblical. And then 1 John 2:6 says, anyone who claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Listen, anyone who claims to live in Him, because a couple verses earlier he says, the man who says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So as we say in Spanish, ojo, watch out, careful, all right? And then he says in verse 6, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. So are you striving to walk as Jesus did? So, and then it's allowing the Holy Spirit to create in me the character of Christ. So I am not resisting the Spirit, but I'm working with the Spirit, that I'm just giving the Spirit. I'm surrendered not just to Christ, but to the Holy Spirit, that He may develop in me, sanctify me, and develop the character of Christ in me. And it doesn't mean that I got to have the character of Christ right now. It's that I'm surrendered to this process of sanctification. Now, Pastor, are you talking works salvation? Then I got to do all these works? No. You just come to Jesus and surrender, and in surrendering, now God do what you want with my life and do this recreating in me until I literally have the character of Christ. I grow into the character of Christ and I just am living for you. And there's a joy to it. One of the greatest evidences that I see for somebody who truly is saved is there's just this joy in them. And I mean, it can be in that person that's just received Christ and even just a few months ago, and there's just this beautiful joy in them. It can be somebody who 70, 80 years been growing up in the church. I'm not going to name names. You might even imagine who I'm talking about. But, you know, and there's several of them here growing up in the church. And there's just, they start talking about Jesus and their eyes just light up. And there's a joy. There is an affection that's so deep, a love for Jesus. And some of them, if you ask them, they just start tearing up in talking about their wonderful Savior and Lord. Oh, yeah. Is that evidence? Oh, yeah. So examine yourselves. Are you, test your faith, Paul says. So here's the criteria. How are you doing? Are you surrendered to Jesus? Have you come under his authority? Not just come under his authority, but the way Paul would describe it is literally being inserted into Christ. You are in Christ. Well, then you are saved. And the assurance of salvation is there, and you are in the grip of God's grace, and he is strong enough that he will never let go. And so you have that eternal assurance of salvation. And I would pray that for everybody here, and then some. Now, the basis of our authority in ministry, so switching gears now, for those who are under Christ's authority and in Christ, it's amazing the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. We have the authority as ambassadors, and that's literally the word Paul uses. We are Christ's ambassadors, his representatives here on earth. You remember when Jesus sent out the 72 disciples? First it was 12 disciples, then he sent out the 72, and he granted them his authority. Oh, they came back and listened to their words. They said, "Even the demons submit to us in your name." They were just amazed at the authority they had, and Jesus said, "Don't celebrate so much that the demons submit to you. Celebrate that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Right? Remember that? So be humble about it too. But we are his ambassadors. We have amazing authority, but I'm frequently then make the statement, with authority comes responsibility. Yes, you have amazing authority when you are in Christ. But with authority comes responsibility. And so Paul tells us, whatever happens, therefore, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so there's these standards that if I were the ambassador to Spain, I would be very mindful of the way that I conduct myself, because I know I'm representing all of my country, the United States of America. And so I would conduct myself in a manner worthy of my responsibilities, of my role, of my authority. And in like manner, Paul says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He says, I mean, even avoid the appearance of evil, right? And so we want to live up to then. And it's not that I have to, it's that I want to. I would never want to dishonor my Jesus, whom I love passionately, right? Right, so with authority comes responsibility. But we are his ambassadors. We have our authority through the Spirit of God. It's God's Spirit in us. In fact, when it comes to doing ministry, we don't even have to worry about it. And Jesus said, because of me, you're going to be persecuted and all that, but you're going to be my witnesses all throughout the world. And he said, you might even then come before kings and governors to give a witness. And he said, don't even worry about what you're going to say. He says, at that time, the Holy Spirit will give you the words. And so it's the Spirit in me that then speaks. And so it's his authority flowing through me, through the Holy Spirit. Cool testimony about St. Stephen, the disciple. So what was he? He was actually a deacon, okay, in the book of Acts. Remember Stephen? All right, it says, and I printed it right there, that when he was, all of a sudden, he was going against a number of the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And you can just even imagine that it was a whole team of them coming against one man, and it says, these men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Where did his authority come from? Oh yeah, it was the spirit just flowing through him. It's the same for us. That is where our authority comes from. And so we are told to keep in step with the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to follow the Spirit's lead. And if you will do that, you will be amazed at what the Holy Spirit will do in you and through you and for you. It will be awesome, an adventure. And then our authority is based upon the Word of God. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. When you stand on the word, you are standing on solid ground, the ultimate authority. And so you speak with absolute authority when you speak the word of God. And please, though, I mean, if you're defending the faith, you might need to, even as St. Stephen did, get into arguments. But typically, when speaking the word, don't speak to criticize others. Speak to encourage, to affirm, to bless. And when you do, and when you use the word of God to affirm, to encourage, to bless, the words you use, you will see they have power. And all of a sudden, that word that you speak based on the word of God, even quoting scripture, it just powerfully just penetrates into people's hearts, deep down into their souls. And with authority, you will bless them. And that's what we need to do. We need to step into that authority. But when we fail to study the word, it's literally like a soldier going into battle, having a weapon, and not knowing how to use it. Can you imagine? Soldiers, I'm looking at Kurt. You know, could you imagine going into a scene, going into a situation, and you got this weapon, and it's this incredible weapon, and it's way more formidable than what they've got, and you don't even know how to take off the trigger lock? You need to be trained up in how to use that weapon. Likewise, oh my goodness, the authority and the power that is available to us is right here. Are you trained up in how to use this for ministry? It so behooves every single person who claims to be a Christian, who don't just claim to be a Christian, who is in Christ, then I desperately want to grow. I desperately, Lord God, and I will dedicate myself. I will carve out time in my schedule so that I am in the Word, so that, Lord God, this Word gets into me, so that the Word then flows in and out of me. I'm even memorizing so that at just the right time, I can give that word of blessing, encouragement, affirmation, and be a blessing to them and to you, God. So we need then to build ourselves up in the Word. We have awesome authority in prayer. I was trying to communicate that to the kids up here too. Oh my goodness, Jesus Christ, all of his authority, awesome authority over everything, the power to heal like this, the power to do miracles like this. And Jesus wants the church to be endowed with that amazing authority. In fact, oh my goodness, in the book of John, when we see Jesus in the Last Supper, there's three times, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, three times that he basically says, ask for anything in my name and I will give it to you. Let that sink in. In the context of prayer, Jesus tells the disciples, but he's really, and that was communicated to us by the Apostle John, so it's a message for the church. Three times he's asked for anything in my name and I will give it to you. Again, just let that sink in. The authority, and it's not my authority, therefore, to pray, but I am pleading to God, to Jesus, who has all this authority, and Jesus has invited me to pray to him, and he will respond. Because his word says it, and he's truthful. The power that we can tap into through prayer is awesome. Awesome. That's why I stand up here week after week going, people, let's get into prayer. Let's build ourselves up in prayer. Because we have access to all the resources in heaven. And you've heard me probably, it's ad nausea by now, but he can do more in 3 seconds than we can do in 3 lifetimes. So what are we doing beating our heads against the wall? Pray, people, pray. Access this awesome power and authority that Jesus has. Pray. And lastly, I just want to say, we're talking about authority and not dominance. So in Christ, I have this tremendous authority, but it's not dominance. And Jesus made that very clear with his disciples. They were jostling around, trying to argue, well, who's the greatest in the kingdom? He brought a child before them all. He said, you need to become like a little child. He says, the first shall be the last. And anyone who wants to be the greatest shall be the servant of all. All this authority, the purpose that God endows me with authority is so that I can serve, so that I can love. And so it's authority, not dominance. It's authority to bless and to minister and to build up God's kingdom as I build up my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's not just the pastor's job. It's the church. And so every single one of you, oh, I wish I could just run around right now and just look every single person smack dab in the eyes and just, your identity in Christ gives you awesome authority. This, who you are in Christ Jesus, you have awesome authority. I wish I could just look you in the eyes, each and every one of you, until it just sinks in. You are the church. You are the arms and feet of Christ. It's through you that Christ wants to do awesome things. And he has endowed you with this, if you are in Christ. And if there's any doubt, go back to those 4 points that I put in the very first part, in that first section. So in conclusion, I just wish everyone here would walk out of this sanctuary with your head held high, stepping into your authority as Christ's ambassadors. But not, honestly, not everyone here is ready to step into action. Not everyone here is ready to just enter the battlefield. I know how to use the weapon. But I want to charge you. Take action then. Prepare yourself for the role. My prayer is this, that everyone under my pastoral authority would come to know first your identity in Christ. Who you are in Christ Jesus. You were crafted in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for you to do awesome works. And that you would know your distinct calling by God, your particular purpose in life, what God has specifically called you to, what your purpose is, and how to accomplish that mission God has given you in life. Being fully equipped yourselves, networking with others, and availing yourself of every resource God will give to you, and he will. If you commit to this, I can only imagine, but your lives would radiate and shine with God's love and blessings, and you would thrive. Who wouldn't want this? It's baffling to me to think who wouldn't. And this doesn't, though, happen in a day, typically not even in a year, but just buckle up for a journey. But the journey itself will be quite the adventure, and the end result will be a profound maturity of faith and living out the abundant life that Jesus promised to each and every one of you. May it be so. God bless you. Amen. And so now,